And it's just a few seconds before 10 a.m. here on KBOO Portland. Coming right up, it will be Air Cascadia headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15 on Locus Focus, host Barbara Bernstein speaks with Anuradhi Mittal, executive director of the Oakland Institute, about their new report, Willful Blindness, how the World Bank's Doing Business Rankings Impoverish Smallholder Farmers. At 11, Grace Eagle Reed hosts Disability Awareness, a monthly program about issues affecting people with disabilities and their communities. And at 11:30, host Ren Green interviews Doug Fine, author of Hemp Unbound, about the latest research in agricultural developments of the long misunderstood plant and its potential to help us end dependence on fossil fuels and heal damaged farm soils. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support for community radio. To become a member or renew your support, just go to kboo.fm and click on Donate Today.
KBOO, an ear to the streets of Portland, are proud to welcome local artist and poet Taria Autry, the author of her latest book of poetry, Roots, Reality, and Rhyme, May 1st, 2014, starting at 7 o'clock p.m. Taria will be performing excerpts from her book of poetry live on KBOO Airwaves and will also be available for a book signing at KBOO Radio. Stay tuned for Freeform Fabulous Thursdays for an intimate night of 60 soul music following Ear to the Streets. That's Thursday, May 1st, 2014, from 7 o'clock p.m. for Ear to the Streets of Portland, followed by a Freeform Fabulous Thursday right here on your community radio, KBOO 90.7 FM, and online at www.kboo.fm.
Cascadia. Today is Monday, April 28, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Don't forget, membership drive is coming up again soon. You can get a jump on it by calling the front desk 503-231-8032 and setting up your membership right now. Get ahead of it, and then you can sit back and enjoy and laugh at all the rest of the people struggling to find a cell phone in the couch cushions. Headlines for today, because we have to set up the context for our guest Ellen Barfield with Plowshares. A while back, remember, we reported in February 19th that three peace activists who had intruded into a nuclear weapons site this was Oak Ridge in July 2012 were sentenced to 35 months or 62 months in prison by a federal judge. He ordered them also to pay $53. Some of these people are in their 80s. Catholic nun Megan Rice was 84, received a sentence of 2 years and 11 months. Come on, it's 3 years. Vietnam veteran and self-described Catholic layman Michael Wally, who's 65 years old, and house painter Gregory Birch Ubed, 58 years old. You see, these are not young people. That's why we give the age this time. We usually avoid doing that. Each received 5 years and 2 months. Each prison sentence will be followed by 3 years of supervised release. They've all reserved the right to appeal the sentences. Plowshares has been around for a long time. It is one of the most credible, respected peace organizations in the country. And a number of representatives have been on the show in the past. One of whom, Ellen Barfield, is a very articulate activist from Transform Now, Plowshares support group. And we want to talk about protest today and the fact that it is becoming increasingly illegal. We touched on this when we covered a recap of Jeffrey Lurth, who has become, a landscape architect working on the median strip of various roads down in Eugene. And the fact that we've come a long, long, long way since Edward Abbey and the Monkey Ranch team. This is something that we need to think about. All the rest of this stuff is context for some of these troubling trends. In Burlington, Washington, was 2005 when the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives discovered that a Skagit County gun shop couldn't account for nearly 2,400 weapons. Nevertheless, 8 years went by before the feds shut it down. The case highlights how budget cuts and regulatory restrictions that Congress has imposed under pressure from the gun lobby made it almost impossible for the ATF to do its job. This past weekend was the NRA's annual get-together. It was enormous. It took place in Texas, of course. This gun shop, the feds finally did kick in the door, they found cash stuffed in bags and tossed in a back room. The division that eventually busted the gun shop had only 27 inspectors to cover more than 4,000 licensed gun dealers in 5 states plus Guam. The Justice Department's Inspector General found, this is a quote, have found that the agency is understaffed. Really? Winona Rossiter's family made history, and also the Darwin Awards in the 1990s when her brother, Anthony Hayes, died of leukemia after his parents failed to provide medical care for him. From the Oh Lord, Not Again Department, Corvallis, Oregon, a Linn County judge will soon decide whether a family's religious beliefs are relevant to the death of their daughter. A 12-year-old girl, their daughter, died of complications from diabetes. She endured such a dramatic weight loss in a month before she died that a teacher confronted her mother about the issue. And that is how this whole thing got started. So these people's children are dying because of their religious convictions. We see activists who have destroyed property and committed so-called crimes in which nobody was injured, being sentenced to horrifically long periods of time in federal penitentiary. These people probably walk after the lives of their very own children were lost. And from Oklahoma City, where experience has been a harsh mistress indeed, comes news of tornadoes. And in fact, a harrowing season of meteorological mayhem has been forecast. The first tornado killed 2 people yesterday in a small northeastern Oklahoma town of Quapaw. Many more of these types of extreme events are forecast. In the reporting on these events, and of course, this is tornado season in tornado territory. Many people seem to not too surprised, though. If you actually live there, these events are far more frequent and far more extreme than they have been in the past. And what is surprising here, again, putting this in context. What is surprising in this next issue is an overlooked surge of Americans rejecting what is to millions a highly sought prize, U.S. citizenship. We are living in a country now where we've made life dangerous for ourselves. We have rejected gun laws. We have rejected taking steps to mitigate climate change. We live with the results, except some people don't. They choose to turn in their U.S. citizenship. For some, it's tax reasons. For others, it's more along the lines of not wishing to participate participate in the madness any longer. Last year, the U.S. government reported nearly 3,000 people renounced citizenship or terminated permanent residency. Most were widely assumed to be driven by a desire to avoid paying taxes. The reality, though, is, of course, far more complicated. The government's pursuit of tax evaders among Americans living abroad is indeed driving a jump in abandoned citizenship as one way to avoid this. There's billions, trillions of dollars hidden abroad, avoiding in the game of avoiding taxes, but renounces. Is often contradict the stereotype of the financial scoundrel. Many are from very ordinary economic circumstances, but more extraordinary political convictions. And coming up on the desk of the Supreme Court justices tomorrow, we have one defendant who carries. We have the issue of cell phones and how they can be used against you. Well, we already know, of course, that they're used to track people, and they're used, of course, as listening devices. And when they are implicated or involved in criminal activity or alleged criminal activity, that's where the law is ill-equipped to define where lines should be drawn. So in the breach, of course, police have stepped in to take enormous advantage of the looseness and the ill-defined lines. Two Supreme Court cases about police searches of cell phones without warrants present vastly different views of the phones. Is it a critical tool for a criminal, or is it where virtually everybody in America lives these days? How the justices are going to answer that question is going to determine the outcome of these cases that are being argued tomorrow. In one case, a drug dealer and gang member, again, it's alleged. This is what the news calls it. What the court to rule that the searches of their cell phones after their arrest violated their right to privacy in the digital age. In the end, what's of even greater concern is the increasing militarization of the police, the cops' disassociation from the communities that they supposedly serve and protect, and most dangerous of all, the enormous unchecked power that the police wield. They're feared. They're not respected by virtually everyone they come in contact with unless money is present in the engagement. This is what the Supreme Court really should take a look at, is the militarization of the police. This is grounds for a massive class action suit, if ever there was one. But no, instead, we're going to have the Supreme Court justices wrangling over the cell phones of alleged drug dealers. Great, just great. And hi-ho, it's back to slack, there they go. Congress is back in its well-cushioned seat today. So it's already set to do what it does best, which is absolutely nothing. Why? Mainly because it's controlled by a bunch of dogs who caught the car and then realized that they don't know how to drive. It's a whole hell of a lot easier to get elected than it is to actually govern. Some of the items on the docket, legislation to renew tax breaks, collectively known as, extenders. It qualifies most people's mind, but can wait until the session after the November elections. Leaders of the House and Senate Armed Services Committees, however, both of whom are retiring at the end of the term, are going to make sure to keep intact the five-decade streak of successful enactment of annual defense policy measures, of course, right? Before they step down, they're going to leave us with this massive bill. And another must-do item is renewing a federal program that backstops the market for private terrorism insurance. That's right. The program, naturally created in the aftermath of 9/11, expires at the end of the year, and its renewal is eagerly sought by the insurance industry and large commercial interests like real estate developers and hotel chains, of course, as well as the NRA meeting. Some people probably had to make a hard decision here whether to attend the NRA conference or the Confederate conference. The Sons of Confederate Veterans, you may not know, bestows on those whose alleged bravery battle can be proven to this private group's satisfaction. They are up for silver and bronze medals. Yep, the South need not necessarily rise again. It never apparently set. And more extreme weather in the Philippines. President Barack Obama sends his condolences to people there. And we have weather. We have the alternative weather, which many people like. And we'll put that all on the KBOO website. This has been Air Cascadia for Monday, April 28th, 2014. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned. It's Locus Focus coming up right now.
And this KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Artemis Foods, Portland's local organic and sustainable catering company since 2001. Special events, corporate and wedding catering with seasonal menus and service supported by sustainable business operations. Artemis offers full service and drop-off catering. Information at artemisfoods.com.
The program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Wilkin & Company, PC, Certified Public Accountants, helping businesses, individuals, and nonprofit organizations make financial decisions based on their personal values since 1987. Wilkin & Company is located at 2435 Southwest 5th Avenue in Portland. Information at 503-225-1359 or wilkincpas.com.